Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I talk to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about matrix management. What is it? Why do companies choose to use a matrix organisation? And what new people management challenges does a matrix organisation cause? Kevin, let's start by being clear. What exactly is a matrix organisation?
I think it's a good question. There is some confusion about different levels of matrix management. Most organisations began with simple, functional organisations, and the risk of this style of organisation is silos, that is, vertical organisations that don't talk to each other. So with increasing business integration, there was a need to share resources and to connect people across these traditional silos so that learning, facilities, knowledge could spread across the organisation. And a lot of this was enabled by developments in information technology. So now we can connect up these very complex organisations. So companies started to look for structural ways to connect horizontally across the organisation. There are several ways to do this. Probably the simplest is just to use virtual teams and projects. And a lot of organisations use this, and they actually call it a matrix. But in my terms, that's not really a matrix because it's not a formal structure. But it is a very common way of working in large, complex organisations. The next level of structuring a matrix is to introduce dual reporting lines. So in this organisation, people have, say, two, maybe more bosses that they report to. And sometimes organisations make a distinction between solid lines, and that's a strong reporting relationship, and dotted lines, which is a slightly weaker working relationship. But once you start to structure the matrix, you're really introducing some additional complexities.
Well, I must admit, that does sound pretty complex. So why do companies choose that kind of structure?
Well, it's certainly an effective way of sharing resources across the organisation, helping learning to spread. Also, in areas like serving global accounts or where you're trying to focus on activity that crosses the organisation, so projects and teams that cross the organisation, then a matrix is extremely helpful. But I don't think it's optional. Very often it's demanded by local customers and it's an effective way of accessing a global supply chain. Really, a matrix structure just reflects the internal and external complexity that's part of reality for big companies today. I should say some companies are still in denial about a matrix structure. Some even ban the use of the M word because it's had quite a bad press in some areas.
Do you think matrix organisations have had an unnecessarily bad press?
Yes, I think the matrix is an easy target. Because it is a complex structure, it can get the blame for lots of problems that existed before the structure. But the reality with the matrix is that structure solves nothing. It's the way that people manage the structure that really makes the difference between success and failure. And I think there's been too little emphasis on this, on the people implications. There are lots of practical differences in the way we need to manage people in the matrix. And I'm going to talk about the three that we see most often. The first is the issue of alignment. In almost every company we work with in our consulting and training, people are looking for clarity of alignment on roles and responsibilities. And if you think about it, a matrix, by introducing multiple reporting lines, introduces the probability of conflicting objectives and priorities. It's a very normal way of working in a matrix. So alignment is always a challenge.
Well, alignment is important. So how do you get aligned in this kind of complex matrix structure?
Well, there are tools you can use to help with goal and role alignment, and probably RACI is the most used one. But if you think about RACI, it makes some assumptions. The number one rule in RACI is accountability should be clear and only held by one individual. A matrix makes this irrelevant. So we have to think about multiple accountabilities. It also tends to magnify the number of people you need to involve and consult. Because of multiple reporting lines, you have two streams or more streams of people who need to be involved in decisions. So it does make alignment much more complex. But I also observe in some of my clients that they spend an inordinate amount of time trying to get clarity and failing. And I think this is inherent in a matrix structure. If you think about it, by drawing multiple reporting lines, we're saying, yes, it is complex. Yes, there are multiple priorities we take into account. And if you think about it, if you could achieve perfect alignment, you wouldn't need a matrix. So the first lesson is not to go too far into the organization. At the top of the organization are the people we call the global group. And the global group should be really clear at a high level about their objectives and the goals of the organization. And if they're not clear, it's very hard to resolve conflicts further down in the matrix. Right at the bottom of the organization are the people we call the locally loyal. And these are the vast majority of people who have purely local jobs. They work in our factories, our call centers, our offices, our retail outlets. We should really try and protect these people from the matrix because the additional complexity and competing priorities just get in the way at that level of operations. The challenge is for the people in the middle, the people we call the matrix middle, who have to balance the needs of the matrix on a daily basis.
Well, it does sound to me as if life is pretty different for those people actually working in the matrix middle.
Yes, there's a host of practical differences for these people, but I want to focus on really two dilemmas that shape those differences. The first is the dilemma of divided loyalties, and the second is balancing control and autonomy. If you think about it, people in a matrix have multiple bosses, and therefore they are pulled to some extent in different directions, and we call this divided loyalties, and it exists in every matrix that we've ever come across. Now, the essence of a dilemma is that it can't be solved once and for all. If we could choose boss A over boss B, we wouldn't need a matrix. So it's inherent. These dilemmas are inherent in a matrix. If you draw two lines on an organization chart, it's an admission, in a sense, that we can't make up our mind on which is more important. So we're delegating that trade-off to people in the middle of the organization. So in a real way, the matrix is led from the middle and not from the top. These are the people who have to balance on a daily basis and find the right balance between the different priorities and the different reporting lines. And that can sometimes be uncomfortable. Secondly, there is always a balance in a matrix between the need for control from the center and the desire for autonomy in local operations. And there are lots of factors within a matrix, within any complex organization, that subtly undermine our trust in people. Now, I'm not suggesting that we wake up every morning and say, I don't trust my colleagues at head office or I don't trust my colleagues in the field. But just the fact that we're not on the same site, that we rarely meet, that we don't know each other as well, means that I'm not quite sure that you're working hard on my priorities. Maybe you're from a different culture and the way you communicate is more direct. Is it a cultural difference or are you being rude? Did you not reply to my email because you're not cooperative? Or because you're in a different time zone and happen to be asleep? So all of these factors subtly undermine trust. And it's a very rational response if you don't know people well or don't trust people to slightly increase central control. And the cumulative effect of all these small reining in of control decisions can be very damaging on a large organization. The signs that you've got the balance of control and autonomy wrong are typically high levels of escalation, delays in decision making, and dissatisfaction, because no one likes to have their autonomy taken away. So in addition to these two dilemmas, one of the things we notice in matrix organizations is that companies start to confuse being connected with being effective. Matrix structures were often set up to connect people across the traditional business silos, but as always, we have to be careful what we wish for. Guess what happens when you have everyone across your organization connected to everybody else? Very soon, you get invitations to too many meetings, you're part of many more teams, you have more bosses, you get more emails, you have more reporting and control mechanisms to complete. It gets very complex. So at the same time as increasing the level of connection, we also need to simplify and challenge some of the traditional management myths. If you haven't heard some of the other episodes in this series, check out the podcasts on cooperation and communication for ideas on how you can simplify the way people work together. And these two things go hand in hand in my mind. If we've got a more complex organisation structure, we also need to simplify, otherwise we'll end up with everybody involved in everything.
So what further advice would you offer people who are working in a matrix?
Well, there's really a lot of things that are different. My key advice would be to focus on the people management skills that make the structure really work. What are the consequences of focusing too much on the structure itself is that this can often get in the way. Because if the structure's not working and we blame the structure, then what do? We reorganize. And reorganizations rarely help because the solution is not in the structure, but they do really hinder because they break apart the networks of people that really get things done in a matrix. So try and avoid the temptation to reorganize and instead focus on skills. If you'd like to find out more about the skills, you'll find lots of stuff on the Global Integration website about the three levels of skills that we talk about in the matrix. One is how to be a matrix leader. The second is how to make matrix teams work in this complex environment. And thirdly is about personal effectiveness. So how do I, as an individual, build my network, shape my role, manage multiple bosses, etc.? You'll see much more information about that on the website. But my real takeout for this is stop looking for a structural solution. Stop spending so much time on role alignment and really work on the people flexibility that makes this complex structure really work.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, all of the value of these ideas come from their implementation. Just give a couple of these ideas a try and see if they work for you. You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead: Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, www.lifeinamatrix.com. And finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at www.globalintegration.com.